You know, it's totally blown out of proportion in the last 150 years. It was nothing before that.
It's some inner-ear balance bullshit, which is allegedly alcohol-affected. Yeah, right. Okay, whatever.
No, we have absolutely no interest whatsoever. And that's why people have to have rhino horn, because they think it's going to give them a stiffy.
Uh-huh.
I mean, human beings are stupid. Can we stipulate that to begin this? When they stop the drum machine and I can think
of him, I remember what it was. Welcome to Callous Screaming Argonauts. I'm T-Fat P, the Fabulous Penguin.
And once again, I'm Dragonfly.
And I am the man from Manhattan.
All right.
And this is Countless Screaming Argonauts, a podcast of record. Today is Monday, February 7th, 2011. This is
the Dragonfly episode.
The Dragonfly episode.
Or the Barry the Steelers episode, if you like.
Okay.
Could be. Could be. I'm sure that you enjoyed the game.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed my 5-1 square that I thought was worth a piece of shit on Friday, I tell you that.
Yeah. Oh, that must have been great then. You won how much?
I won close to $400.
Oh, all right.
Cool. Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of a net kind of thing. I mean, I can't say that really was the net return, but yeah. You know.
Well, you know, 5 looked really bad.
Yeah, it does.
Manhattan Man, Denali was telling us that you had the over on the national championship game.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
I have not spoken to him in some time. I smacked him in the back of his purple fucking bandana. That's funny.
Yeah. All right. I've got something to start us off. I've been working on the idea that we would have a euphemism of the week. And I found that there's a whole bunch.
We don't have like 8 or 9 already? Like, I'm sorry.
There's a whole bunch of blogs out there that are called the euphemism of the week. So, you know, this may not go any further than this episode. But what I was thinking of, because I saw this in a commercial on TV, and we were talking to Becca there a little bit ago for the vagina monologues, and we were talking about how things have changed as far as what you can talk about. And I saw a commercial that said it was one of those, you know, CBS Cares kind of things, and it said, check your testicles, you know, except instead of saying testicles, they said the family jewels. So that was my euphemism of the week. Because
family jewels, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine in the middle of a Dick Van Dyke Show episode, some guy coming on the TV and saying, you know, do your loved one a favor and check the family jewels.
Right.
You want to mention Dick Van Dyke. They couldn't show her pregnant. She stood behind the couch for weeks.
They couldn't show them in the same bed together.
Yeah, they had single beds with
two single beds.
A table in between and a lamp and a radio.
Technically, they could show them in one bed at the same time as long as one of them had a foot on the floor.
On the floor. That was Lucille Ball who talked about that.
Yeah.
Just so let's go back a ways.
As long as one of them had a foot on the floor.
That's because really everybody knows you can't have sex with your foot on the floor.
Well, see, I was going to say, that doesn't take into account the electric cooled pony harness.
Not only that, but it also helps the room from spinning.
If that's a problem, yeah, that could be a solution.
I don't know about you,
that's
Penguin.
That's what the electrical pony harness is for.
I literally have put my foot on the floor to stop the room from spinning, so I can testify.
I haven't done that since college, but I will say that I have done it.
Well, I didn't say I did it recently.
Oh, okay.
And it never involves anything, Dragonfly.
Like a week ago that finally explained why that happens when that happens.
Yeah, why?
It's some inner ear balance bullshit, which is allegedly alcohol affected. Yeah, right. Okay, whatever.
My hammer, anvil, and stirrup are floating at that point?
Something like that. I think that's what it is.
Something like that, you would think, right?
All right. So anyway, euphemism of the week probably is going to go away, to get back to the original subject at hand. But and I bring this up because Manhattan Man is with us, and I just have a hunch he might be able to come up with one of these. Do you know what the opposite of euphemism is?
The opposite of euphemism.
Mm-hmm. That would be iphemism.
It's dysphemism.
Brutal. It's what?
It's dysphemism. D-Y-S-P-H-E-M-I-S-M.
Which means absolute truth or absolute?
No, it's a distinctive phrase, right?
It's an over-the-top or vulgar expression for something that the person is familiar with. In other words, it's a way to sort of establish that you're close to someone or that they are a member of the group, because you can say, hey, motherfucker.
Okay, so you can use a dysphemism as opposed to, look, Francis has joined us.
Exactly. And they mentioned hovel or shack instead of saying villa when you're talking about your house.
These people have never been over to Shea Manhattan.
You could say slammer. I was in the slammer instead of I was at the county correctional facility, when really you were just in prison.
You could say that you engaged in a little slap and tickle.
Exactly. Yeah. Except that
maybe
would be a euphemism.
Maxwell or perhaps Denali. But,
but a euphemism might be to sleep with, and a dysphemism might be to bang.
All right.
Okay. All right.
So I remember the thing about the guy who came to work, and he found out that he lived in a neighborhood with one of the secretaries, you know, down a block. So they were going to commute together. And he's, you know, he's ready to leave one day, and they're talking about commuting together the next day, and he says, all right, I'll knock you up in the morning.
Yeah.
And she says, no, you won't. You know, like that. That's a euphemism.
Right.
Or that's a dialectualism.
Dialectualism, wow.
He will knock her on her door.
Right.
But because he's using the phrase knock you up, it changes because of dialect, right? Wouldn't you
right.
say?
Knock you up is a euphemism in the United States, or is it a dysphemism?
Knock you up, well, you just went with bang, right?
Right.
It's difficult because knock you up means make you pregnant, right? It doesn't mean get it, to use a euphemism.
Right.
To use a euphemism. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So anyway, if in the course of the show you come up
with a euphemism.
Well, I've
got a couple of them, interestingly, because the thing I wanted to talk about was one of the subreddit. I read Reddit every day.
Mm-hmm.
I've become a Reddit fanatic. And one of the subreddits that I read pretty regularly is TIL, Today I Learned.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the TILs that are expressed are things that are contrary to what you would expect, or, you know, correcting common misconceptions.
But they're serious as opposed to comedy.
But they're serious. And somebody recently said that if you go to Wikipedia, you can look up common misconceptions, and there's a whole list of them. And I got the list in front of me. And some of them, I mean, I have to admit, some of them I bought hook, line, and sinker and just learned today that they're not true. So I thought I'd share a couple of them with you if you're interested.
No, we have absolutely no interest whatsoever.
Okay.
And by the way, you mixed your metaphor.
I mixed my metaphor how?
You bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, okay. I love doing that.
Yes.
I bought into it hook, line, and sinker.
Okay. Right. Anyway, go ahead. Hit us with the...
All right. So, common misconception. All right. Now, this one I never really believed, so this one wasn't a correction. But there's no evidence that Vikings wore horns on their helmets.
Commonly misconceived.
Commonly misconceived.
There's but no evidence that Brett Favre was a great quarterback. Never
mind.
Now, this one, however, I have to admit that I would have told you exactly the opposite. All right?
Okay.
Christopher Columbus's crew knew that the earth was a sphere and not flat.
Okay. Well, was the whole principle for them getting on the boat, was it not?
Well, that was his principle, but they supposedly, at least the story that I remember being told as I was growing up and learning about it, was that when he sailed for all that time and they didn't hit land, they started worrying about falling off the edge.
They began to have their doubts, yeah.
Right.
I think that they taught us that, but I think that circumnavigation, or at least the ability to circumnavigate, predates the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria by almost 200 years.
Oh, by a century, I think they did know. Show that I just saw.
I think they did know, yeah.
And by the way, pre-circumnavigate is a euphemism also.
Yeah, especially if your name is Shlomo Glickstein. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. Okay, the pilgrims never wore the tall hats or the brass buckles.
Really?
Yeah, never happened.
Oh. You know what I've always wanted to know? Where are the pilgrims now? And what I mean is, where are the descendants of the pilgrims? Right? They all went to Massachusetts. Did they all just become left-wing liberals?
I don't know. But the same reason that the pilgrims are drawn with the big gold buckles is why Santa Claus is drawn with the big buckles. Because when that image around the 19th century, buckles were considered to be an emblem of quaintness. And so they stuck them on everything, including the pilgrims and Santa Claus.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
So neither the pilgrims nor the Santa Claus?
I don't know that I'm buying that about Santa Claus, because my understanding is the American artistic conception of Santa is from Coca-Cola, believe it or not, from marketing efforts and art for Coca-Cola, which I think – I don't know.
I think that's the big red elf with the big white beard and that image. But I think that Santa Claus was drawn with big buckles and robes and stuff like that beforehand.
Prior to that. Okay. All right.
Just as a little side note, and I can't tell you the name of the book, but the writer is Steven Nissenbaum, and there's a book out about the history of Christmas, and pretty much at around 1848, there was virtually no celebration of Christmas. And it really got started with that poem.
Uh-huh.
And, eventually became the marketer's paradise that it is now.
Oh, sure. Coca-Cola really ran with that.
But back when the United States was an agricultural country, you still had to go to work on Christmas Day. You had to milk the cows. You had to do the things that farmers had to do. And Christmas celebration was maybe taking a pie over to your mother-in-law's house. That was it. You know, it's totally blown out of proportion in the last 150 years. It was nothing before that.
It's called The Battle for Christmas, and it's $11.88 at your local Amazon.
There you go. And it's fascinating. One of the best writers, one of the best technical historians you ever want to read is Steven Nissenbaum. I also wrote a book called Salem Possessed about the witch trials in Salem, which will give you a perspective on it that you probably have never heard.
Oh, interesting.
Little side note.
Speaking of pie, which you just did mention, Marie Antoinette. Marie Antoinette?
Yes.
Never said the phrase, let them eat cake.
Really?
As a matter of fact, that phrase was printed, was published by Rousseau when Marie Antoinette was only 10 years old. And was and it's thought to be, it's thought to have been coined by Rousseau himself, but possibly said by Rousseau's wife.
Huh.
Which I thought was very fat. I would have bought, I bought that one. I would have said she said it.
Yeah, yeah, I thought that was a, true fact.
You know,
fact.
For 10, she's smoking.
George Washington did not have wooden teeth.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, that one I knew.
Yeah, the teeth, which you can find at the Smithsonian, were made of gold, hippopotamus, ivory, lead, and human and animal teeth.
Oh, right, right. I did. I heard that. That's amazing.
Yep.
And you know what's amazing about it is they took his teeth out before they buried him.
Uh-huh.
That's not right. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I got two on the Declaration of Independence. The first one is – oh, no, actually, one on the Declaration of Independence, one on the Constitution. Declaration of Independence was not signed on July 4th, 1776. It was officially ratified. The language of that – of the document was ratified on that date. But the actual signing occurred August 2nd, 1776.
See, I thought there was a doubleheader so they couldn't go. And...
I thought that John Hancock, I thought I read that he and one other person signed it on July 4th, and that it took a couple of months for everybody else to sign it.
You see, now that's the story I heard, but this says no, that's not true. They all signed it on the 2nd of August, or most of them signed on the 2nd of August.
Interesting.
Right?
That's a freaking midsummer bender. How about that?
Yeah.
We'll catch you in a month.
Right. Contrary to common practice. Okay, the United States Constitution was written on parchment, not hemp paper.
Oh, that's what I thought.
I would not have known the difference, but I guess up to that point, that official documents like that were written on hemp paper, and all of the drafts of the Constitution were written on hemp, but the actual Constitution was written on parchment.
If sheepskin, so can you.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, see, Franklin used to, like, roll them up and smoke them. So they didn't have a lot of hemp paper.
You used to roll them.
I was like, stop making changes, you know.
I liked it the way it was. I want him at my dinner table.
Oh, you can change this now. Right, with Chris Chambliss and who was it?
Never mind. Go ahead.
Now that will prove to you that I listened to that shit because you had the Pufta on. And see, I listened to that.
And that proves it, right?
That's right.
There you go.
All right, on to cooking and food. All right.
All right.
Everybody says that muscles that don't open when you cook are not safe to eat.
Yeah, like your mouth.
I was wondering what joke I should use there. You can't leave. You can't leave an opening like that.
Oh my goodness.
We just heard the vagina monologues. Are you kidding?
Hey, I'm not going to go there.
Okay, so muscles, they're okay?
Yeah, they are. They very often are fully cooked and safe to eat. Has nothing to do with whether they open up or not.
Oh, that makes sense to me. If you put something in 212 degree water for 15 minutes or whatever it is, there's a pretty good chance it's not going to be living when you're done.
Right, right. Microwave ovens don't cook things from the inside out like everybody thinks they do.
That's interesting. I did not know that.
I didn't either. I would have.
So do they cook things from the outside in? Yeah, they do because the middle's always cold. That's why you got to stir it after 5 minutes.
Simple science with Max.
Okay. It's commonly claimed that the Great Wall of China is the only man-made object visible from the moon.
From space.
Right. False. Yes. Absolutely and totally false. As a matter of fact,
Manhattan's penis is also available. Visible at certain times of the day.
Oh, man, you guys are.
It was a significant portion of Dragonfly that was the remainder tonight.
Is that what did it?
Yeah.
All right, have you heard the claim that ducks' quacks can't echo?
No.
I have heard that.
Yeah, it's false. They do echo.
It's a sound.
It's a sound. It would have echo.
Really?
Yeah, but I've heard that before. People have said that a duck's quack doesn't echo. But it does.
Yes, and my farts don't stink.
Yes, they do.
You've heard the notion that goldfish have memories that last only 3 seconds?
Yes, I have heard that.
False. Absolutely and totally false.
You know what? I don't buy that. I just don't freaking buy that because how do you test Nemo?
That was proven by Mythbusters. They did a thing where they put food in a fish tank and had a series of doors or whatever that the fish had to negotiate to get to the food. And it was able to remember where the food
was. Not because they forgot. It's because they can
smell it. Smell it, yeah. I question that science. I love Mythbusters, but I question that science.
Uh-huh. Ostriches don't bury their heads in the sand.
Okay, I'll buy that. That's
never did, never will.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Have you heard that the aerodynamics of a bumblebee makes it so that it can't fly, but it does?
Yes, I have heard that many times.
It's not true. German scientists in the 30s proved that...
Bumblebees can fly?
Proved that their aerodynamics are fine for flying.
All right. I find that easy to believe.
Flying around, like...
That's right.
Okay. How about the myth that sharks can't get cancer?
I have heard that, yes.
Yeah, they can. They do.
I didn't know that. That's
carcinoma in sharks does exist.
Yeah, and that's why people, you know, eat shark cartilage. And that's why people have to have rhino horn, because they think it's going to give them a stiffy.
Uh-huh.
I mean, human beings are stupid. Can we stipulate that to begin this?
That's just a euphemism.
There you go. A stiffy. That would be a euphemism. That would be the euphemism of the show.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to have
heard, everyone's heard the thing. Everyone's heard the thing that says that bulls are enraged by the color red.
Uh-huh.
Not true. Cattle are dichromats, which means that they can't see red.
Yes. sexual persuasions here. We're not.
What is that? It's like they have busing?
I think
they're going to let the kid into bull school? What are you talking about?
I actually think that Denali is a dichromat.
He'll see you at the vagina monologue.
I'm trying to think of this.
So does that mean they can only see black and white?
No. What it means, though, is that a lot of colors don't stand out as being different. They only see two or three different colors, and they look very, very similar.
Interesting.
That's why you often see a bull in plaid and paisley at the same time.
It's just like my dad.
Okay, and glass is not a solid.
That I knew.
It
from
is an
Sister Florence solid. In sophomore biology class.
And the way that you know that is by?
Well, or maybe it was Sister Regina in chemistry. Because it's thicker, windows are thicker at the bottom.
Right, thicker at the bottom, especially older ones.
Yes, and that's true with nuns as well.
They're thicker at the bottom.
They are thicker at the bottom.
Fucking done.
That's where the term cankles really started.
You better stop.
I think Sister Regina would forgive me if she's still on the planet.
I think that she'd hit you with a ruler if you're still on the planet.
You're right.
Abner Doubleday did not invent baseball. We all knew that.
Well, that is my personal favorite. Peccadillo.
Uh-huh.
And I can tell you who did, and I'm sure I have. Right?
Right. Absolutely.
Alexander Joy Cartwright III, right?
Right.
In a book that everybody must read sooner or later, please, The Man Who Invented Baseball.
Uh-huh. All right, I'm going to end on one more. All right? Everybody who's read the Bible, or at least is familiar with the Bible, would say that in the book of Genesis, that Adam and Eve are presented with the forbidden fruit. Which is commonly identified as
an apple.
An apple, right? Well, and actually, in none of the ancient translations is the word anywhere close to being apple.
Really?
Yes.
It was actually bacon-wrapped shrimp that they were.
It was scallops. And they didn't know it.
Now, some of the different translations say that it could have been a grape,
yeah,
or a fig, but there is no apple mentioned.
All right.
So I thought it was pretty interesting, because I bought that one, too.
Well, does that mean that there are things in the Bible that aren't true?
Euphemistically speaking, I think you could
probably. I'll leave that. Yeah. I better leave that for another show.
I think you should. I think it should. Manhattan Man, I was mentioning to Max off the show, before the show. Did you read the article about Obama having served homebrew beer at his Super Bowl party yesterday?
I did read that in the Times today. There's a little blurb.
Yep. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, he had some homebrew.
His chef made it for him.
For the homeboys.
Yep. A little honey ale.
Is that a euphemism?
If you remember, he made the photo op of sitting down a couple guys out in the garden and having a couple of beers.
Right.
Remember that?
The beer summit. Yeah.
Our president is not above a lager beverage, which is, I think, a good thing.
Yeah, I agree.
You got to send him some Blue Canary.
See, now that would be perfect.
Yeah.
Having a picture of Obama sucking on a Blue Canary.
It would be great.
We could retire.
You just know that they're never going to let him drink it, but it would be really cool if you could get some to him that he could actually drink. Let this be a clarion call. Let this be a public announcement right now. President Obama, we promise the most sanctified, the most pure homebrew you could possibly imagine. If you would drink one Blue Canary cream ale, we promise it'll be golden. You might as well get that out there.
Hey, might as well. You never know.
I have something that I would finish on if we're near finishing.
I think we are, so go for it.
All right. Unfortunately, I don't remember which one of our guests was with us. I think it might have been Denali. When we talked about Edison and the future...
Yeah, I believe that was Denali.
All right. Well, I probably should save this for a Denali episode, but in for a penny, in for a pound. I did
so don't worry about it.
A euphemism.
No, this is a true fact. Remember we were talking about Tesla and how he probably predicted the future too?
Yes.
Well, he did. I did a little research.
Uh-huh.
It will soon be possible, for instance, for a businessman in New York to dictate instructions and have them appear instantly in type in London or elsewhere. He will be able to call up from his desk and talk with any telephone subscriber in the world. And then, in emphasis, it will only be necessary to carry an inexpensive instrument not bigger than a watch, which will enable its bearer to hear anywhere on sea or land for distances of thousands of miles.
The Tesla iPhone. There you go.
Did he write this? Do you know, Max?
Roughly? I didn't cut that out. He was a contemporary of Edison, so I would say roughly 100 years ago.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
Yep. One may listen or transmit speech or song to the uttermost parts of the world in the same way any kind of picture, drawing, or painting can be transferred from one place to another. It will be possible to operate millions of such instruments from a single station.
Facts and scanners.
It's a fact.
There you go. So
Tesla
also predicted the future.
You gotta tell Becca that, because she's the Tesla fan.
Is that right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, I gotta remember the name of the book that they were talking about.
He didn't say anything about aluminum, did he?
No, he didn't. He didn't mention aluminum. And neither, frankly, did Edison. What Edison said was, "You'll have steel."
Yeah, but Tesla didn't say the iPhone either, or a fax or a scanner. But he described the technology.
You could send signals all around the world.
Right. He described the technology, which is what Edison did.
No, what Edison did was predicted transmutation of metals.
No, he didn't.
Yeah,
he was
did.
Talking about – no, he was – well, he might have beside that, but that's not what he was talking about there. He was talking about that they were going to create steel that was incredibly light whilst maintaining the strength.
Right, but it was still right. going to be steel.
No, his thing about gold was the transmutation of metals.
Yeah, well, I
He thought that pretty soon they were going to be able to take any metal and make it any other metal, and so therefore gold wouldn't be valuable anymore, and they could make taxi cabs and street corners of gold if you wanted them because it wouldn't be any more costly or whatever than any other metal.
Yeah, but he never mentioned the word aluminum, whereas Tesla actually mentioned Steve Jobs right in that quote.
the Apple iPod.
That's right. And he said he was going to have liver disease too, and he said, "Watch out."
Well, he's an alcoholic.
Watch out for Bill Gates. Yeah.
So listen, how are we going to deal with the next couple of weeks with no? There's no football. We got to wait for baseball.
Well, pitchers and catchers start next week.
I know. Well, yeah, but you know, the first couple of weeks are, you know. You throw a couple of pitches, then you go run the outfield for a while, then you go hit the golf course.
Yeah, you that's know. True. Well,
so, I mean,
good
baseball for a, you know.
This is the bridge. This is why college basketball exists.
Unfortunately, that's true.
If you ask me.
Yes. There's a university somewhere between the frozen north and the frozen south. Where they play basketball in New York State, and they're doing all right, I guess. And of course, there's Duke University, and I'm, you know, I personally can say Krzyzewski. So,
Krzyzewski, very good.
I was trained because I went to grammar school with Marianne Krzyzewski. So, I was prepared at a young age. For my SKIs, I probably mentioned at another point on the show that everybody in my grammar school was either Polish, Irish, or Italian.
Well, that only covers like, you know, 80% of the population at the time.
Well,
I mean, you know.
In the village I grew up in, you pretty much only had Ukrainian, Slovaks, and you're straight up Polish.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway... So we'll watch Duke University, and we will say things like Krzyzewski, and it will not be a euphemism. You can say you got your Krzyzewski kicked, and it'll be okay.
Not bad, Max.
I'm trying to tie it all together here. I'm desperately struggling at the end.
Hey, it worked. You made it work, and that's what's most important.
I tied it up.
Right, Manhattan Man? He made it work.
He made it work. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hang in there.
Bye-bye.
Right, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
There's a picture opposite me of my primitive ancestry, which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck-free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming Argonauts, new bird of friendliness, like guardian angels, it's always near. You can hear in the alley by the light switch, who watches over you?
Hi, this is Miss Nicole of 8 Beer Sampler Productions. You've been listening to Max and T-Fab Pete, the fabulous penguin of Countless Screaming Argonauts, the podcast of record. Listen to their podcast adventures at csapodcast.blogspot.com or download it free from the iTunes podcast store. Just search Countless Screaming Argonauts. The boys love to hear from you, so email them at csapodcast@gmail.com. Finally, if you want to show your allegiance to the show, pick up some CSA swag and help make the boys famous. You can purchase hats, shirts, and mugs, along with other appropriate gear, at Cafe Press. Click the link on their webpage. And thanks for listening.